And welcome to the Vincent Moreland Show, More Land, More Sports. We got host of On the Hop, Thomas Tyree. Thomas, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Vincent, thanks for having me on your show today, man. I appreciate it.
Of course, of course. This is our first collaboration, first of many, I hope, Thomas.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There'll be many down the road. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I want to get in the studio with you and the rest of the On the Hop. try to get me in there, man. I'd love to get on with y'all, man, for real.
Yeah. Last night we had our first guest for the first time, but yeah, we would have no problem having you on as a guest for the future.
Yeah, that'll be great. So on this episode, guys, Thomas and I, we're gonna talk about our top five fantasy players for each position. We'll even include a sleeper in there as well. I think this will be fun. I think it'll create some debates and whatnot. So it'll be fun for sure. I'll go first for my quarterbacks, and then I'll let Thomas say his quarterbacks, and then we'll probably just discuss from there. How's that sound?
Oh, that sounds good to me.
All right. So number five, I have Kyler Murray. Number four, I have Lamar Jackson. Number three, I have Dak Prescott. Number two, I have Josh Allen. Number one, I have Patrick Mahomes. And then my sleeper is Jalen Hurts.
All right, so I'll go my top five. So at five, I have Dak Prescott. At four, I got Russell Wilson. At three, I got Kyler Murray. At two, I got Josh Allen. And, of course, at one, I got Patrick Mahomes. And my sleeper quarterback for this year in fantasy, I have Matt Stafford as my sleeper.
Okay. So I noticed you left out Lamar, but four of our five are the same. So we're kind of thinking of, like, especially with our top one and two. But I feel like that's pretty much everyone's top one and two, considering how they've done last year.
Yeah. For everyone drafting, I would hope that would be their top two quarterbacks they aim for.
Yes. But, like, you know, in my fantasy, like, I never go for those guys because I'd rather have a player at a position, you know, that might be a little bit more needed, you know.
Like a running back and receiver.
Yeah, like the separation from Patrick Mahomes to, like, Matthew Stafford wouldn't be as big compared to, like, let's say Christian McCaffrey to, you know, a Miles Gaskin. Or, like, a running back that you're not really sure of. One that's kind of lower in the, like, pack, who's still a starter but just isn't going to produce as much, simply.
Right.
Yeah, I like your pick on Matt Stafford. I'm kind of high on him this year. But he is one of those guys that's being picked later. But he's going to have Robert Woods. He's going to have Cooper Kupp. You know, running back situation, it would have been nice if Cam Akers was there. I think it would have made Stafford even better. You know, Darrell Henderson, he's still formidable. You know, he had some ups and downs last year, a couple ups. You know, this will finally be an opportunity for him to take over a starting role for the whole year. I don't know if he'll be able to hold on to it. I wouldn't mind seeing Jake Funk out of Maryland get in the action, you know.
Yeah. I think they might go with a running back committee also, the Rams, because without Cam, stud running back that they can lean on for, like, a longer season this year. So I can see what you're saying, like, with the running backs and stuff like that.
I got you. What made you pick Russell Wilson in your top five, considering, like, he started out really well last year, but the way he ended the season was kind of disappointing, not only for his fantasy owners, but probably for Seahawks fans.
Yeah, so the reason why I put Russell Wilson at four, like you said, he's got his problems, like, going down the stretch. But, like, as much as I love him to death, like you said, he always starts out red hot, and his production level, like, slowly goes down, like after week seven. But I think he'll change it around this year. I think this year will be a little different. I think the offensive scheme is going to change a little bit. I heard they got a new offensive coordinator. So I think, like, the scheme will change just a bit for his play style. And he's still got Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf to help him out. So I could see him finishing as a top five quarterback in fantasy this year, as long as his, like, his production level doesn't drop like it did last year.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it, but the guy threw 40 touchdowns last year.
And
a lot of it was so – it was in the beginning of the year. And it's kind of one of those things where you remember what he did lately, not what he did early on. Like, I didn't realize he's had a career high in touchdowns, also career high in interceptions, which I think kind of carried over to the second half of the year. Also, right. He missed his career high by 7 yards, passing yards, and he had the best completion percentage of his career. So, definitely have a great argument for him. I'm trying to look at his game log and see, like, where he kind of fell off. Yeah, the last four games, he threw for 181 yards, 225, 121, and 206. So, and he played against the Jets, the football team, the Rams, and the 49ers. But yeah, it's just crazy on how, like, his turnaround kind of made me have a little bit lack of confidence in him. And maybe I shouldn't have a lack of confidence in him, but I do. And I've actually picked Jalen Hurts over Russell Wilson in not one but two fantasy leagues so far.
Oh, you did? Like, drafting-wise?
Drafting-wise, yes.
Oh, dang.
I had an opportunity to take Russell Wilson, but I ended up taking Jalen Hurts instead.
Yeah. I think, like you said, like, a lot of people actually forgot, like, he did throw 40 touchdowns last year. I think it's, like, down the stretch, like, because a lot of people expect so much from Russell Wilson. Like, he's that guy that's knocking on a door to having his own MVP award. So, like, his expectation level is, like, as high as, like, any quarterback, like, any top quarterback, like a Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers. He's, like, at the top of the list. So, when people see, like, his production level dip, I feel like they don't write him off, but, like, he's, like, basically forgotten about. In a way. Yeah. And, like, for his stats last year, I remember, like, a lot of people he's already got respect on his name, but, like, that game, what they play, the Patriots, week two, that Sunday night game, that was, like, one of the best games I've ever seen him, like, throwing the ball was. He lit up the Patriots defense and had, like, great stats throughout that game.
Oh, but,
yeah. Yeah, down cool. the stride, it just, like, changed. It started to slow down a little bit and wasn't the same as the first couple weeks, but hopefully he can turn it around. I love him to death, so I think he'll finish as a top five quarterback this year in fantasy.
Fair enough. Yeah. He had 5 touchdowns in that game against New England. So yeah. In that final stretch, he had, he only had a touchdown of, 2 or more touchdowns twice in his final 6 games. 4 of those were against the Jets, but again, he only threw for 206 yards. So it helped that he had a lot of touchdowns that game. But yeah, like in the first half, he had 4 touchdowns, then 5, then 5, then 2 and 3 and 3 and 4 and 2. So the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He had 8 straight games with at least 2 touchdown passes or more. So yeah. he was red hot, but I don't know. I just kind of lacked confidence in him at the end of the season. I hope it doesn't carry over into this season, but part of me thinks that it might. But
yeah,
I'm wrong. I just want to quickly explain. I like Hurts, man. Like, I had him in my fantasy championship last year over Josh Allen. It's kind of a bad move. I was nervous about Josh Allen going against the New England Patriots for a second time, because in that first game he played against him last year, he did not have a good game. It was the worst game of the year for him. And I thought,
oh yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, and I thought Hurts had a more favorable matchup. I think he was playing against the Cowboys or the Cardinals, one of those two. But I just think with the dual threat, I think he's a better dual threat option. I think he's likely to get more rushing yards. If you noticed, like, a lot of the guys I picked were dual threat guys, like Kyler and Lamar. You know, those guys like to run the ball. You know, fantasy points, you get rushing points too.
So, yeah, and that's why I think as a quarter, like, if where you're getting a quarterback, if you're going to get a quarterback early, you might as well get a dual threat, because they can score throwing and running the ball. So it's, like, good to have a dual threat if you're going to get a quarterback, like, in the first, like, 5 rounds.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's it for quarterbacks. I think we both kind of agree that Dak is good. Like he was on pace to he was on pace to have a great year before he got injured.
Yeah, I think he was gonna have like one of the best, if not the best, like career, like season of his career last year if he didn't get hurt so early.
I agree.
Like passing wise and stuff like that, I think that would have been his best season.
I agree. All right, moving on. So for running backs, number five, I have Zeke Elliott. Number four, I feel like our list, this will probably be our most similar list. I have number four, Derrick Henry. Number three, Alvin Kamara. Number two, Dalvin Cook. Number one, Christian McCaffrey. My sleeper is Myles Gaskin. I feel like Gaskin is a guy that isn't really getting looked upon, and considering he had a pretty good end of the season last year, despite him getting hurt and Savon Ahmed taking over him, I think Myles Gaskin can have a good year. But it's really tough now that I'm thinking about it because that Miami offense has not ran well under Tua. But now this will be Tua's, first, like, full start. You know, he has a year under his belt, and I'm sure him and Brian Flores have made a lot of adjustments.
Yeah. So our list is basically the same, like you said, except my sleeper and five is different. So my top five, I got Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, and Christian McCaffrey. And my sleeper is DeAndre Swift. I've seen so many other running backs. This one was probably my hardest to pick as a sleeper. But, like, I seen all these other running backs, and I was thinking back to, like, all the rookies from last year. And DeAndre Swift, I feel like he's going to be, like, a real sleeper running back to have this year in fantasy because he was, like, involved in a running back committee last year in Detroit. I think they had Adrian Peterson and Kerryon Johnson.
Yes.
But, like, last year, even with the a running back committee, he had a total of 878 total yards. And, like, as a receiving back, he had 46 catches with 10 touchdowns. And I think, like, the way out there, like, starting to, like, reload their offensive line, I think they're going to be, like, running the ball even more this year. Because, like, I don't believe they have, like, a suitable top one type of receiver this year in the Detroit's offense. So, like, I could see them running the ball a ton this year.
Yeah, but the thing is, with them running, like, their defense is not that good. They're probably going to be trailing a lot of games, so they probably won't even be
able to. Yeah, that's another thing.
So, like, that's why I don't have Swift up there. That's why I don't want him. Not because I don't think he's talented, but I just don't think he's going to get as many opportunities as other running backs may get. But if he's available in, like, the fourth or fifth round for any reason, yeah, I'll take him on my team. One thing I'll always remember DeAndre Swift for is dropping that game-winning touchdown against Chicago.
I remember that. What was that, week one?
Week one.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Imagine starting your career like that. But, I mean, he's been pretty good ever since, but I feel like that's something he will always be remembered for. Even though it wouldn't have made a difference for them, but it was still like, you know, it's an opening statement, you know. But, yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, for my top five, I was kind of on the fence. I was like, do I want Elliott or do I want Barkley? Elliott, just because, like, I feel like with Dak, he was doing pretty well. But once we saw, like, Dak go down, he kind of went down himself. Defenses were able to focus on him a little bit more. They were able to crowd the box more. Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci and Garrett Graham, whatever. I think that's his name. Like, you don't have to focus on the receivers as much because the quarterback just simply isn't as talented as Dak.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, you know, once Dak went down, every single Cowboys player, their numbers went down, unfortunately. Like, yeah. CeeDee Lamb was looking really good. He was looking like a steal, and then once Dak got hurt, pretty much the whole offense was hurt. Not literally, but, like, figuratively, you know.
Yeah.
So I expect Elliott to have a bounce back year.
And then, like you said, like, I was definitely on the fence with, like, either putting Zeke or Saquon at my five spot. But I gave the five spot to Saquon because even though he's coming back from that torn ACL, I feel like the Giants are definitely going to use him either running the ball or passing the ball a lot. And I feel like he get a lot of yards. He's like one of those players, like once he gets the ball in open space, he's like always bound to make a great play and get like a ton of yards out of it. So either receiving or running the ball, I can see Saquon putting up a lot of numbers this year.
Yeah, I remember his rookie season. He was either rookie or second year. When he played against the Steelers, he had like 14 catches in one game. I was like, goodness gracious. But they were kind of just a bunch of dump-off screens.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, CMC, Dalvin, Kamara, Henry. I don't think there's really much reason to talk about that. We know what they're going to do. It's all about health, especially for CMC only playing 3 games last year. Dalvin probably had the healthiest year of his career last year. He's always going to be a big concern for health. Kamara, he just does what he does best. But I noticed like a little bit of a drop off for him whenever Taysom Hill was playing at quarterback.
Yeah. Under center.
So I don't know if that'll carry over this year. But I feel like no matter who the quarterback is, Kamara should be able to do well. But it might be difficult for him to get going if defenses kind of focus on him a little bit. Because, there's not going to be Drew Brees there. And also Michael Thomas is going to miss a few games. So offenses don't have much to worry – defenses won't have much to worry about in terms of, like, the offensive production from the Saints, in my opinion. Who's on their depth chart now? Marquez Callaway. I heard Soto talking about him.
Yeah, I don't know why he was so high up on him yesterday, but he did say something about him yesterday.
Like, I'm thinking, like, Tre'Quan Smith was probably, like, the next guy up before Marquez Callaway, unless he isn't there anymore. And then you have Deontay Harris out of Baltimore. He's normally, like, their special teamer, their kick returner, punt returner. But other than, like, Michael Thomas, like, who is Jameis Winston going to throw the ball to, or Taysom Hill,
Yeah,
it just sucks because, with Michael Thomas out and Tre'Quan Smith questionable, Marquez Callaway would be the next guy up. Then you got Deontay Harris, but the rest of these guys, not too many people are familiar with. Have you ever heard of little Jordan Humphrey?
Jordan Humphrey?
His name is... On the depth chart, it says Lil apostrophe Jordan Humphrey.
Oh, no, I never heard of him before.
Yeah. Second season. I know you've heard of Ty Montgomery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they signed Chris Hogan. You have Tommy Lee Lewis. That name will always ring a bell. St. Louis Rams, Los Angeles Rams, screw job there. And then, they signed Kevin White. Former first-round pick.
I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Yeah, they just signed him, so they're going to give him a chance and see what happens. So the Saints are kind of down in receiver right now, and then their tight end is Adam Trautman. So, no disrespect to any of them, but defenses can kind of crowd the box down, focus on Alvin Kamara. But it looks like Jameis Winston would be the starter. So, and that's probably a good thing. So then you can use Taysom Hill as a receiver, tight end, running back, quarterback on occasion. Basically anything skills position-wise on offense. So it'll be interesting to see. I kind of think I should flip-flop Henry and Kamara now just because, Henry has a lot around him. He has two, all-pro caliber receivers around him, where Alvin Kamara has next to nothing in terms of like talent,
Yeah. And then when I was making my list also, like you said, I was thinking about like flopping Kamara and Henry only like the, what you said, like the offense is going to be different without Drew Brees. And like Mike, I think Michael Thomas is going to miss like the first 2 to 3 games. So like definitely no matter who the quarterback is between Winston and Hill, the like defenses are definitely like going to be basically focused on Kamara, so it's like going to be hard for him to get going for like the first 2 to 3 weeks in the season.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll never forget Kamara getting 6 touchdowns on me in a fantasy championship. So sad. So sad.
Oh, the Christmas Day game.
Christmas Day game. Yeah.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, whoever had him.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then your sleeper was DeAndre Swift. That's right. Yeah, we will see how he does. All right, so for my top five receivers, I have – this might surprise you. I got Keenan Allen at number five. I got DeAndre Hopkins at four, Stephon Diggs at three, Tyreek Hill at two, Davante Adams at one. And my sleeper, I don't know if he's much of a sleeper, so I put two. I put Deontay Johnson. I feel like he's a guy that isn't really looked upon as much as he probably should, just because the guy catches the ball a lot. But a sleeper I have that nobody's really talking about is Elijah Moore. I might be going out on a limb with this one, considering he's a rookie and his quarterback's a rookie, and he's going to be playing alongside Corey Davis, Jameson Crowder, and who's another receiver for the Jets? Corey Davis.
They got – did you say Crowder, Jameson Crowder?
Oh, Denzel Mims. They got him too. So, like, you know, I feel like the Jets are kind of stacked at receiver, but I feel like Elijah Moore will probably overcome Crowder and Mims just based on, like, how much he's talked about and whatnot. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, speaking of Elijah Moore, actually, in the draft I just did, like, he was, like, actually, like, all the – like, he was my second to last pick. So, like, when I seen he was still there, like, even though he's a rookie, I feel like he's going to be used a lot in the Jets offense this year. So I thought he was a steal for, like – so anybody that's listening that hasn't done their draft, I feel like Elijah Moore is definitely going to have, like, a sleeper season this year.
Me too. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out who's going to be this year's Justin Jefferson. You know, like, who's going to be that guy that nobody's looking at, and then everybody's going to try to grab him by, like, week five or six on waivers, you know?
Yeah. So, my list is kind of similar to yours. This was probably the hardest position I could find for a sleeper pick because there's so many good receivers.
All right. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We got Thomas back on the show.
My fault. Because I was in the middle of saying the list, and then I got disconnected. So,
yeah.
Did you hear my top five list, or you want me to say it again?
Yeah, can you start over with your top five receivers, please?
Yeah, at five, I got Calvin Ridley. At four, I got DeAndre Hopkins. At three, I got Tyreek Hill. At two, I got Stephon Diggs. And at one, I got Davante Adams. And then my sleeper, like I said, this is probably the hardest sleeper. He's not really a sleeper, but I said Chris Godwin would be my sleeper only because he's got several offensive weapons around him or around Tampa's offense this year. I feel like he was a steal going in the draft this year for anybody that would get him. I have him on my fantasy team. I got him, I believe, he was either the fourth or fifth round. But I think since he's playing on a franchise tag this year, since he got tagged in the spring, I feel like he's going to produce his best season for the Bucs this year and might even finish, like, stat-wise, the best Bucs receiver for fantasy-wise this year.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm kind of nervous about Godwin because he went from having 1,333 yards to 840. Also, he had 21 less catches last year. I would like Chris Godwin if Jameis Winston was his quarterback.
Yeah.
But I don't really like Tampa Bay receivers. I don't really like receivers, period, when they're playing with Tom Brady. I just feel like Tom Brady, when it comes to, like, those guys, like, they're just not really producing as much when it comes to fantasy, I should say.
Right. I agree with that.
So I get kind of nervous with that. But, yeah, Devontae, we both got Hopkins at four, and then we kind of flip-flop with Diggs and Hill. I'll tell you what, man. I never thought Stephon Diggs could be this type of receiver.
Like, I never thought he would be either, to be honest.
Like, everybody treats him like a top five receiver when they never even mentioned him when he was in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like he was mentioned, but, like, not as much as he is now, you know. But I drafted Diggs in three leagues last year in, like, the eighth or ninth round, and I was like, wow.
So you got him that deep? Like, round-wise, you got him, like, in the eighth or ninth round last year?
Yeah, because he was somewhat overlooked going to a new team. You'd be surprised when Stephon Diggs got drafted in a lot of leagues last year. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't the top, you know, first, second round projected pick. Do you remember when Stephon got drafted in your league by chance or no?
I think last year when I did fantasy league, like, that's why I was surprised when you said, like, the eighth or ninth. Like, when he was drafted, like, whoever drafted him in my league, he was gone by, like, the fifth, at the most, the sixth round last year. So I was surprised when I heard eighth or ninth.
Mm-hmm. I might be over-exaggerating it, but I just know I got him late. And in terms of, like, the value that I got for him, it was pretty solid. It was at a point where, like, I was so receiver heavy in a ten team league. I had Hopkins, Michael Thomas, Terry McLaurin, and Stephon Diggs. But like but my running backs were not good. So it was like, okay, I just kinda have to play with these receivers a little bit. And it was hard, man. It was really hard. But right. Yeah, I like Hopkins. He's my favorite receiver in the league. I'm not surprised with the numbers he put up with Kyler Murray. I don't think so, there's much to debate there.
Yeah, so, like, Hopkins this year, like, the only reason why the three receivers I had in front of him, like, had a better year last year, and I think they'll have better years this year. But Hopkins, like, I feel like on, like, any given day, like, he's arguably a top three receiver in the league. The only reason, like, why I had him so low, but like, not low, but, like, not in the top three is because, like, last year he only had six touchdowns. And I think him and Kyler Murray, like, going to build on a more, like, have more chemistry this year for their second year being together. And I think, like, in the red zone, he's going to be, like, targeted more than the three other receivers that I had, like, ranked. Well, I wouldn't say Adams, but, like, I could see him being targeted more in the end zone than Diggs and Hill this year. So, like, I could see him, like, getting a lot of his points, like, in the end zone this year.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, and with A.J. Green there, like, he's not his old Bengals self, but he'll definitely take away attention from Hopkins, especially in the red zone, considering, like, how tall and, like, how good A.J. Green's hands are, you know. I really hope A.J. Green has a bounce back year. You know, I miss the old A.J. Green, the one that used to kick the Ravens' butt all the time, because he's a fun player to watch, you know.
Yeah, so like what you said, like with A.J. Green, like now that I think about it, the Cardinals are like stacked, and like Hopkins will definitely get more attention, like less attention than any of the other three receivers we had ranked. Because like I think they have DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, Christian Kirk, and that what's that rookie that just drafted? Moore? I forgot what his first name was, but the receiver they just got from Purdue this year. I think he's going to be, like, a little slot receiver that could throw into the game, like, when they need yardage. That will help him. So, like, I feel like DeAndre Hopkins is definitely going to have, like, a lot of attention taken away from him this year.
Okay. Yeah, Rondale Moore.
Yeah, that was his first name, yeah.
Second-round pick, 5'7", 181. Okay. So, he's not a tall guy. He's just – I guess he'll be, like, a shifty type of guy. Yeah. Okay. Yes, you ready to move on to tight ends?
Yeah,
this is a hard one for me.
Like finding a sleeper wise, like tight ends are important to me, but like at the same time, it's like once this top guys goes, like you really gotta start thinking like what tight ends you really like want on your team. Like in my opinion,
yeah. Number five, I did T.J. Hockenson. Number four, I did Mark Andrews. Number three, I did George Kittle. Number two, I did Darren Waller. Number one, Travis Kelce. I didn't put Kyle Pitts in there just because he hasn't played yet. Like, I know a guy can be so good in college, but I've seen guys get drafted in the top 10 just to not produce. So I want to wait and see how Kyle Pitts does. I'm sure he'll be in my top five next year. But my sleeper, I don't know if he's really much of a sleeper, but I went with Logan Thomas for Washington. Yeah, he's a guy that is big, you know, used to be a quarterback, so he can read the field just as well as a quarterback can. He's a big red zone target. He gets a lot of catches. He can be a mismatch on smaller guys. You just throw it up and he'll catch it. I feel like him and Ryan Fitzpatrick could have a good connection, especially if like McLaurin is getting clamped up by a Jalen Ramsey type of guy. You know, Logan Thomas will be there. I think he could be a good security blanket for Washington. Hockenson, you know, I think he'll still produce. I didn't realize how much he's grown his hair. I'm looking at his fantasy picture. I'm like, whoa. I love the updated pictures. I'll let you say your list before I make like any other explanations.
So my list is kind of similar to yours. So at five, I got T.J. Hockenson. I believe like he's gonna be like the only like big catching option for Detroit this year. That's why I put him at five. At four, I did go with Kyle Pitts just because I believe like the hype is gonna be shown this year, in his game. And then three, I got George Kittle. Two, I got Darren Waller. And one, I got Travis Kelce. And we did have the same sleeper pick. I also think Logan Thomas is a deep sleeper in tight ends this year in fantasy. Like you said, like he's going to be targeted a lot in the red zone. Behind Terry McLaurin, I feel like that's going to be Washington's like best kept secret like on offense this year, like receiving wise. I know they got Curtis Samuel, and they'll use Antonio Gibson a lot in the offense, but I feel like Logan Thomas is be like their best kept secret, like for their passing game this year in their offense.
Yeah, yeah. If I can't get Kelce, Waller, Kittle, Andrews, Hockenson, or Pitts, I'm gonna try to get Logan Thomas in like two or three rounds from then. Like I know guys like Irv Smith, you know, because he was one of those guys that like, if he didn't do much, like he would get a touchdown. And now that Kyle Rudolph's not there, he might get more attention. But I'm not so sure on Irv Smith just yet. Noah Fant, I need to see Drew Lock play better. I like Fant, but I just don't know how he's gonna do this year. Drew Lock gives me question marks. Like I'm not a big fan of any Denver receivers. I used to be a big Cortland Sutton guy, but his health kind of worries me. And yeah, but I think Logan Thomas is a decent sleeper, and I feel like when people miss out on Kelce, Waller, Kittle, Andrews, Hockenson, or Pitts, they're like, oh, well, who am I going to get now? Logan Thomas is a guy that you should definitely consider for sure.
Yeah, and then someone I did put Logan Thomas as my sleeper, but, like, someone I was actually baiting the back and forth with to put as a sleeper, I was thinking of, like, Dallas Goedert a lot, only because, like, I feel like in the next couple of weeks, either the Eagles are going to trade Zach Ertz or, like, they're just going to release him. And I feel like the doors – like, he's been there for, like, what? How many seasons? Like, two or three seasons now?
Who, Goddard?
Yeah.
Oh, he's been around – he's been around for two seasons now. This will be his third.
Yeah, so he's been around that offense – well, around the team for a little bit. So I feel like he's going to take, like, that next jump in his career – playing tight end this year for the Eagles. So I wasn't – Logan Thomas wasn't my sleeper. Definitely Dallas Goedert would have definitely been my sleeper pick.
Yeah, I see, like, he's so far ahead of, like, Zach Ertz in the rankings. I'm like, well, what happened to Zach Ertz, you know?
Yeah, I feel they're going to get rid of him.
Dallas Goedert will be entering his fourth season.
Fourth.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll probably, you know, he's been in Zach Ertz's shadow, so we will see what happens with him. Kicker, I got Ryan Succop just because he's on the Bucks. I feel like they'll score a lot. Tyler Bass for the Bills, good offense. I got Jason Sanders. I think he was the number one kicker last year. He showed a lot of consistency last year, and with the way Miami's offenses ran, I don't know if they'll be able to score a lot, but I think they'll be able to go down the field a lot, and he'll probably kick a lot of field goals. Number two, I got Harrison Butker for the Chiefs. They're going to score. And then number one, Justin Tucker, best kicker the NFL has ever seen. I'm not even trying to be biased here. He has the highest kicking percentage. And then my sleeper, he's not really – I don't know. It was hard to kind of pick a sleeper for kickers. But I picked Will Lutz just because I feel like the Saints, I feel like they're going to be able to score. but I feel like they're not going to be able to score as many touchdowns as they used to, and I feel like Will Lutz is just going to be used a lot whenever they go down the field. Another guy I had was Jake Elliott. So, like, with kickers, it's kind of like if you can't get, like, the top kickers, like, you kind of want to pick, you know, a kicker who's on a team that might be able to score against a bad defense, or if they can't score touchdowns, but they can still get down the field, hopefully they kick like four field goals for you. And that's where the points can really add up.
Right. So for kickers wise in fantasy, like once I see like the top three kickers, like kickers are basically like my kryptonite. Once I see like the top three kickers going, like I don't go for a kicker until like the last round. So, like, last night, I didn't know if you watched the show or not, but I had, like I was saying, my team, like, my fantasy team, I didn't even mention Cody Parkey as my kicker because I picked the kicker last. So, I didn't even mention him. So, when it comes to kickers, like you said, like, to get a top guy quick, like, that's really a good strategy that I actually need to start doing. But my top five list for kickers, I would say at five, I got Greg Zuerlein. At four, I got Matt Prater. Three, I got Jason Sanders. Two, I got Harrison Buckert. And at one, I got Justin Tucker. A sleeper for kickers. I really didn't make a sleeper pick for kickers. I would go someone like an offense that definitely scores a lot, like Green Bay. I would go either Mason Crosby, or I would go the 49ers might turn things around this year. So I would go Robbie Gould as a sleeper kicker as well.
Good choice. Yeah, I drafted Gould in two of my leagues. So mainly because they're playing Detroit week one. So I'll probably drop them and pick up someone else the following week. So
yeah, they'll definitely score. He'll definitely get you a lot of points week one, though, against Detroit.
I don't know. It could be the opposite. Maybe they'll score like four touchdowns. Maybe they'll score like all touchdowns and not field goals. We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where you don't really get like a good sense of the teams until like you're like a quarter or even halfway through the year or third of the way in. You know, it could be like, wow, you expect this team to play bad, but they're actually playing really well, you know.
Yeah.
So for defense, this will be our last position. I didn't do punters. You know, there's actually some fantasy leagues that do punters.
Oh, is it like those Yahoo leagues that do punters and stuff?
I think any platform has it if you include it. But
I didn't even know that.
That's not something I play though. Get that. So I did number five. This was kind of tough. I did the Rams, Los Angeles Rams, number five. I did the Steelers four. I did the Washington football team three. I did the Ravens second, but that might be a little biased there. And then for number one, I did Tampa Bay. And then for my sleeper, I did the Cleveland Browns.
That's a good sleeper. That's actually a really good sleeper. So my top five, and yeah, I did have I probably made this list like a couple times when I was creating it because like there's so many defenses that you could plug into the top five. Yes. But not my top five this year would probably be I would say Washington at five, the Rams at four, I would have the Patriots at three, I had the Bucks at two. The Ravens are going to be the best scoring defense this year for fantasy, so I put the Ravens at one, and then my sleeper defense I would say the Niners because they're getting a lot of their defensive players. They missed last year due to injury, like Nick Bosa, getting him back, they could get like a lot of sack fumble recoveries maybe. So like I think having Nick Bosa back there is definitely going to help their defense a lot to be a sleeper pick for fantasy this year.
Yeah, I almost put the 49ers in my top five, but I took them out and put Washington in there. I completely slipped Washington out of my mind. I was going to put them at – I was going to put the 49ers at, like, five. I was like, nah, Washington's done pretty well. But, yeah, you know, they got Nick Bosa back. Fred Warner will be playing. He had a good year last year. I think he's the highest-paid linebacker now.
Fred Warner, yeah.
So, a lot of these 49ers, I can't think of them off the top of my head right now. They still have Armstead and all those boys. I'd have to look at their depth chart.
But I'd say, like, another sleeper team also, now that I just thought about it, looking at the rankings and stuff, I'd say, like, this is, like, something that you wouldn't see as a sleeper, like, going, like, at the start of the season. Like, maybe as things, like, go on, like, in the, like, halfway point of the season. Like, another defense team to look out for would be, like, the Los Angeles Chargers. I feel like their defensive scheme, now that I have, like, a defensive coach, is, like, definitely going to be better than the schemes that they had, like, in the previous years. So I could see, like, the Chargers defense, like, taking a, like, a big, like, going, having a big rise this year, like, for fantasy-wise. They might get, like, a lot of turnovers and stuff like that this year.
Yeah, they could. They could. It'll be interesting to see for sure. I can't wait to see how right we are with these picks. I like how we kind of think alike, you know, with a lot of our lists and whatnot, especially with, like, you know, our top, like, 1, 2, and 3. Like, we match 1, 2, and 3 for a kicker, tight end, running back, and then with wide receiver, we kind of flip flop Diggs and Hill. And then we had our top 2 same for quarterback. So, Thomas, you're thinking a lot like me, man.
That's what I said. I said it was meant to be for us to collab today. So that's why I definitely said I could see us collabing a lot moving forward.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Thomas, you a Yankees fan? Or you a Nationals fan?
Oh, I'm both. I like both, actually. That's the only sport where I actually do have 2 teams. I'm a Yankees and Nationals fan.
So if they played each other in the World Series, who are you rooting for?
That was, you see, when that happened, like, what, back in 2019, when the Nationals got to the World Series first, I could have swore the Yankees were going to play them, but the Astros took them out. So if that ever happened one day, I think it'd be like a 50, I wouldn't even know who to root for at that point. I think I'd just watch it. Like, I would just yell just for the heck of it, because both my teams be in the World Series. So to me, it wouldn't matter who would I really want to see win. But I would like to see something like that one day.
What made you pick both of them? What made you like both of them so much?
So I actually had family that used to live in New York. This was like years and years ago. But like the first ever baseball game I went to was like at the old Yankee Stadium. So like when I seen all them older guys play, like Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez, like when they had the team completely stacked, that's what like made me fall in love with the sport of baseball and fall in love with the Yankees. And then how I like the Nationals, Bryce Harper is my favorite baseball player. So, like, once I seen him, like, his game, like, rise, like, it completely made me like the Nationals. And, like, I've been paying attention. Like, I started paying attention to the rest of the roster, like, when I started getting into baseball. So, I, like, basically both fell in love with both teams, like, based on their players and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, I remember – I remember seeing the old Yankees. I remember seeing Teixeira and Posada and Rodriguez and Jeter and Swisher.
Yeah, they had some dirty guys back in the day.
dirty, man. And then who's your favorite football team again?
Oh, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
I was going to say that also. I was making my top 5 list. I was like, I can't throw too many Cowboys names in there. I can't be too biased.
Nah. I don't think it'd be biased at all. Like Dak and Zeke Elliott. Maybe if you would have threw in CeeDee Lamb or what's his name?
Michael Gallup.
Yeah. Or who's your tight end? Or Amari Cooper too. Jarwin, right?
Yeah, I think I don't know who they're going to start. It's either going to be Blake Jarwin or Dalton Schultz. I don't know who's going to start a tight end this year. I'd rather have Blake Jarwin play, but either one of them are going to be our starting tight end this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of similarities between the two. I don't think one stands out from the other, in my opinion. I don't know. My Orioles, we are bad. We're in a 15-game losing streak right now.
I actually seen that stat. Yeah, earlier today. I actually seen that stat.
We have a 15-game losing streak. We already had a 14-game losing streak in the spring. So we've had 2 14-game losing streaks in one season. They haven't been able to cover. So if you bet against the Orioles, 1.5, their opponent, if you bet their opponent 1.5 for 15 straight games, you've won a lot of money. Yeah, it's just really sad. And then basketball, you're a Miami Heat fan, right?
Yeah, definitely a Miami Heat fan.
Me too. I the first time I watched basketball was when the Mavericks and the Heat played each other in the finals. I was like, oh, LeBron. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to like the best team with the best players. And then I just stuck with them ever since. I never switched up. So I'm a Heat fan for life. Unless for any reason, Baltimore, if Baltimore can get a home team, I'd probably root for them just so I could, you know, be a home fan. I try to be a home fan. Even though the Wizards, they're technically the home team, but yeah. You know, at that time they weren't really that good, so I just kind of stick with the Heat. And the thing I like about the Heat is that they're in the Wizards division, so I can see them, you know, once or twice a year, and I can also see them in Philadelphia. So
yeah. So like what you said about Baltimore, Baltimore not having a home team. The thing I thought about the other day is like with the COVID problems, like the Raptors are having. Like, I know last year, they had to play in some part of Florida last year, their home game stuff and stuff. I was thinking, what if, I know things are getting better, COVID-wise, but, what if, they had to relocate, Baltimore? I think Baltimore would be, a perfect location for the Raptors to go to if they had to relocate.
I agree. I think you can draw a big crowd. You know, a lot of people from the Baltimore area, they would go to a game, you know, driving to D.C. or taking the Metro to D.C. isn't all that bad. I take the Metro every time I go to a D.C. sporting event. But, yeah, Baltimore, that would be great. You know, basketball is weird. I feel everyone around here is just a fan of a different team. Around here, it's mainly, Raven fans around here. But in basketball, it's all split up. I don't know too many Wizards fans out there, you know. And then for hockey, I'm a Caps fan.
Oh, hockey. I like watch hockey, but I don't really follow the sport like that. So if whatever reason I do watch hockey, I'm watching it just because it's a game, a big game or a Stanley Cup game. But other than that, that's actually one of the sports I don't follow is hockey.
Gotcha. What were you gonna say, Thomas?
What's that? Oh, I was gonna say. I think I was gonna say something about. I forgot what I was about to say. Actually, I think it was about to be something about, the Raptors or something like that. But I think I already said it.
Okay. Yeah. You did. All right. I think we're gonna wrap things up here. Are you on campus at UMBC this semester?
I actually transferred this year, so I'm going to Towson this year.
Good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be starting there next Monday.
Okay. Yeah, bro. I went to UMBC. It's boring, bro. It's boring. I shouldn't be dissing them on this podcast, but I try to keep it professional on here. But I think you going to Towson, it'll be more fun. It'll be more fun. And at least Towson has a football team.
Yeah.
That was the thing about being a UMBC student, not having a football team. I was going to McDaniel games. I was going to Salisbury games. I was going to Towson games. I was going to UMD bars to watch their games. The only thing we have that's – I don't want to say it's worth watching, but the only thing that's, for me to enjoy out there is, you know, basketball. And, I'd rather watch basketball and football. You know,
right?
Yeah,
but so no, did you say you did go to the basketball games?
I did. I did front row seats all the time. You know, student discount. So I'd go in for free, and I would always be the first one in line just so I can get a front row seat. You know, behind the court, so in the student section. But nah, good move. I'll probably see you up Towson because that's a school that I would always that I always go to the visit. Are you staying on campus there, or you
live? So, like, for the first, like, I'm going to see how it goes, like, for a while, because I'm going to be commuting. But, like, if I don't like commuting, I'm definitely going to be on campus then, if it doesn't work out that way.
I got you. It'll be quite a commute for you from where you're coming from.
Yeah.
That's 695. That ain't going to be fun. But, all right, Thomas, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to collab with my show. Let me know if I could ever be on your show. I'd be more than happy to.
Thanks, Vincent. Like I said, like, I can see us collab. We actually think alike, and I can see us collabing more in the future. So definitely we'll have a spot for you as a guest one day on the hop. But thank you for having me on your show today, man.
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Thomas Tyree, the host of On the Hop podcast. You can listen to him on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow On the Hop. Is it On the Hop 06 on Instagram?
Yeah, On the Hop 06 on Instagram.
All right. And you guys can check out him and his other co-hosts as they do an IG live show every Wednesday. And they post it on their feed. So if you're unable to watch them live, you can always watch them whenever you want, or listen to them on any podcast form. Are you also on Spotify too?
I'm working on that. Working on getting a Spotify, but for now, just on Apple Podcasts.
Okay. Yeah, because there might be some people who may not have an Instagram, or they may not have an iPhone either. So their best way to listen is on Spotify if possible.
Yeah.
But all right. Thank you, Thomas. You have a good one, man.
Thanks, Vincent. You too, bro.